Malachim Aleph, Perichov Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav, Hooray, hooray, Navos is dead, put to death by false accusations of blasphemy. Navos is dead, and a three-word telegram, if you remember those from ancient days, a text message, a WhatsApp chat has been sent to Izebel. Vayhi kishmoa Izebel kisukal Navos vayamos. And so it was when Izebel heard that Navos had been stoned and he died. Notice, sukal Navos vayamos, the exact same lashon. Earlier when Ahav is retelling his interaction with Navos, he changes the lashon. Izebel, on the other hand, got exactly what she had ordered. So the Nach specifically repeats the exact phrasing and doesn't change it, showing that Izebel got exactly what she had set up. She's not even necessarily rejoicing and celebrating. She just has the smug smirk of somebody who got exactly what they paid for. Check it off on the checkbox. She's a cruel woman. And, you know, every Cruella de Vil Maleficent stereotype you can think of. That's Izebel. There was a restaurant that came into existence once that almost Lahachas called themselves Jezebel. And if I remember correctly, there was a big controversy over the Hechsher and they may have lost it. The name was not considered acceptable to the kashering agency. And by the way, if we read this story, we understand why. You wouldn't name a restaurant Hitler or Atalia. We'll meet Atalia, who tries to massacre out the Malchus based David. You wouldn't name a restaurant Avimelech, would you? Izebel is a truly evil, wicked person, and she perverts justice, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, all of the real core values of Judaism. So, not to insult the restaurant owners whom I did not know, but naming something Izebel isn't just a snarky 21st century bit of ironic hipster wit. It is a refutation of everything we stand for. So it's a real problem. Philosophically, if you learn the psukim inside and you see how cruel she is. So she gets the word that Navos is dead. And so she goes to Ahav. Vatomri Izebel el Ahav. Izebel then goes to Ahav, who presumably is still lying in bed facing the wall, although by now maybe he had lunch. Kum resh es kerem Navos ha-Yisraeli. Get up and inherit resh. So some say from Yerusha, this is a sign that he was the next closest inheritor. Others say resh just means take possession of the vineyard of Navos from Yisrael. Asher me'ein losas l'cha b'chesef. That he had refused to give it to you for money. Now, it's interesting that Izebel is echoing Ahav's version of the Navos interaction the way Ahav had reported it. Ahav said, he wouldn't give it to me for money. Izebel says, he wouldn't give it to you for money. Ahav is reaping what he sowed, in a sense. Because he told the story over to Izebel in such a way that she is now either unconsciously or ironically giving him back exactly what he told her. You said it was a money thing. Well, not to worry. Ki ein Navos chai. Navos is no longer alive. Ki meis, because he is dead. Now, obviously, one sort of means the other. So what does it mean that he's no longer alive, he's dead? So the Mefarshim explained, the Radak explains that he didn't die a natural death. He is not alive, he is dead because he was executed as a Murad B'Malchus, and that entitles you to take his property, so not just as an inheritor from the family, but as the king. Go and take the property any way that you want to, because now Navos cannot stand in the way because he is dead. Now, how culpable is Ahav for all of this? He didn't act. He didn't do anything. Then again, is he asking any questions to Izebel? Tezayin. Vayihi kishmoa Ahav kimeis Navos. And it was instantly, as soon as Ahav heard that Navos had died, Vayakam Ahav loredes el kerem Navos ha-Yisraeli lorishto. And Ahav got up to go down into the vineyard of Navos the Yisraeli to inherit him. He didn't ask any questions. He didn't want to know. Plausible deniability. I don't know the core of the Iran-Contra scandal, if anybody was alive and can remember back that far to 1986, was what did the president know and when did he know it? And when all of the president's men stood by him, he had an absolute defense. And when they asked him, did you ever meet with Oliver North to discuss arms for hostages and selling guns and giving them to the Contras? The president said, I don't recall. I don't remember. And that's a beautiful defense because you cannot disprove that. The fact that Ronald Reagan ended up later on with Alzheimer's disease where he really could not remember just a few years later is a sad irony of history. And Reagan was very old by the time he ended his presidency in 1989. He only had a few years left and he was already in his mid-80s. So who knows? It could be he didn't remember. But in Achav's case, although he genuinely knows nothing and he could pass a lie detector test, his fingerprints are all over it. The order to have Navos killed was a royal decree stamped with the royal insignia. His wife told him she was going to deal with it, and he very specifically did not ask any questions because he did not want to know. A king cannot have willful ignorance and think that he can get away with it. It is a terrible tragedy of Jewish leadership to have a situation where he just claims ignorance and that's good enough. Property was stolen, murder was done, blood is on his hands, and the corrupt legal system participated in this absolute railroading of Navos and miscarriage of justice. But this is terrifying that such a thing could be thought of, perpetrated, carried out, and then benefited all by Jews. Except, of course, for the real plot puppet master, who is Izevel, who is in no way Jewish. But this is not conduct as a king, and certainly not of Beis David. Of course, he's not from Beis David, so he doesn't think twice. He just goes down to play in his new playpen that he got through terrible means. On the other hand, somebody's waiting for him in the vineyard, and he is going to have a very uncomfortable conversation.